Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Following the forgotten and zero day, New York Times bestselling author David Baldacci returns with the new thriller featuring military investigator John Puller. The new novel is The Escape. As it opens, John Puller's older brother, Robert, was convicted of treason and national security crimes. His inexplicable escape from prison makes him the most wanted criminal in the country. Some in the government believe that John Puller represents their best chance at capturing Robert alive, and so Puller takes on the burden of bringing his brother in to face justice. But Puller quickly discovers that there are others pursuing his brother who only see Robert as a traitor and are unconcerned if he survives. As the nationwide manhunt for Robert grows more urgent, Puller's skills as an investigator and a fighter may not be enough to save his brother or even himself. Again, the name of the new novel is The Escape. David Baldacci is with us to tell us about it, and it's always a great pleasure to welcome him to the program. David, thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, thank you. It's great to be here.
Always nice to have you on the program. Tell us how you came to this John Puller character. How did his creation come about?
You know, I've always been interested in the military. My dad was in the Navy, and I live in the Washington, D.C. area, which has a huge military footprint, so I have a lot of friends who are in all the service branches, and really thought about developing a character that worked in that world, and John Puller was sort of the culmination of that, an Army investigator who was a Ranger before and came up through the ranks. He has a father who's a legendary three-star in the Army who now suffers from dementia, and his brother Robert, who was an Air Force major who was in prison in Leavenworth, Kansas. So it was a new challenge for me, a new world I didn't know a whole lot about, so I immersed myself in that world, went down to Fort Benning and spent a lot of time with the Rangers down there, did some of their training and some of the crazy stuff they do, but talked to a lot of people from privates on up to generals and really learned a lot about what I consider to be a fascinating world.
And with a character like that, what are you allowed to do? What can you explore that you haven't been able to explore in the past? Because it's a secretive world, but it's also a very regimented world.
It very much is. And so, you know, what you don't get in the civilian world is just this sort of the military ethics, the military discipline, and just the things that, you know, soldiers get into from time to time that are sort of military-based in their lives. And he gets to go all over the place because he's not restricted to one locality, because the crimes that he investigates could be anywhere in the world, really. The military has a presence. He, at the same time, he's a military investigator. He also has to really still adhere to a very strict code of military conduct under sort of a very different set of laws as well, that it's very different from civilian laws in a number of ways. And even though he's an investigator, he is still a soldier and still wears the uniform and has to pay due respect to people who are superior to him in rank. You know, you think of civilian investigators, they walk around and smack everybody around, regardless of who you are or, you know, how important you are. But in the military, it's different for an investigator because he plays two roles. One's an investigator, but one's a guy who still wears a uniform.
The idea of writing about an escape, of writing about a prison, where did that bring you in your research?
Yeah, you know, I was a former trial lawyer, so I've had been to my share of prisons, and I just wanted to set people the atmosphere, the feeling, the sensation of being in a place where you have no liberty at all, and your every movement is watched, and everything you do is dictated by others, and it's obviously a very claustrophobic feeling. And my challenge was, I had built this prison up, and it really is, it's a real prison, DB in Leavenworth, to be inescapable. No one's ever escaped from it, so how do I get this guy out? So that was a challenge for me, but what I tried to do was, when you're faced with a complicated obstacle, the worst thing you can do is come up with a complicated answer. I tried to make it simple. So it was just a confluence of events that happened and someone seizing an opportunity in a very simple way. And that sort of beat the complicated obstacle in a realistic way. I couldn't have, you know, black helicopters flying in and have a bunch of guys in black rappelling down and lift this guy out. That was not going to work. So I had to be a little more creative.
The idea of a nationwide manhunt is fascinating because, I mean, we've seen this, I guess, most recently in Pennsylvania, where there was a widespread manhunt on for this suspect who killed a state trooper. It's fascinating to me that you can think about that, and you write about it so interestingly about how we do this, because there's a lot that we know, but ultimately the person can be anywhere, and let's face it, it's a really big place.
it is a really big place. And I guess, yeah, I've always found it fascinating that when you have these, you know, massive nationwide manhunts, that they tend to find the people relatively quickly. The guy in Pennsylvania was a little bit different. He was, you know, was an outdoorsman. He knew the area. He was in the woods. But we had an episode where this guy in Charlottesville was accused of killing this UVA student, and he took off and was gone. And 2 days later, they found him on a beach in Texas. You know, and you just wonder, wow, it's a huge place. He had gone halfway across the country to a place, as Texas is, you know, an enormous, you know, physical geographic place. And, you know, in 2 days they had found him out of all the people, you know, in this country. And but there are eyes everywhere these days. I'm not just talking about Big Brother eyes. I'm like, you can, you know, the cops' best friends right now are the smartphones, because, you know, everybody has a smartphone. And everybody's on Twitter and social media. I remember when some guy was firing at the White House a few months ago. There was a woman in a cab next to him where he was shooting from his car, and she's, you know, watching the whole thing and tweeting about it.
Right.
And so wherever you go, somebody has a pair of eyes on you. So it takes a lot of skill to remain, you know, free when basically everybody is, you know, has eyes on you.
Does it, so when you have that kind of, so you almost get the two different worlds, right? The prison where everything is so insular and this is, you know, there's no place to hide. And then you go outside where you can pretty much hide anywhere in the world.
That's right. It was really quite the dichotomy. And for Robert Puller, you know, he had prepared for this eventuality. In the book, it's revealed how he did so. Again, it was sort of taking advantage of an opportunity,
right,
that would allow him to move more freely about, because of the special steps he took, changing his appearance and all that, that allowed him to sort of get out. And plus, he was in the intelligence field, world-class hacker. He knows, you know, what tools people will be using to try to track him down, and he, in some ways, turned that around on them and used his inside knowledge about those practices and protocols to turn the tables on the people looking for him.
Do you have a schedule as to what you want to write about? This is the third in this John Puller series. So do you say, okay, it's time for a Puller novel, it's time for this, it's time for that, it's time for the Kings, whatever the case may be?
Yeah, it's a little more haphazard than that. Sometimes I will say, you know what, I haven't visited with these people in a while. You know, haven't had a Gamma Club book out for a while, or King and Maxwell haven't seen them for a while. Sometimes I have an idea for a plot, and then I think about, well, do I want it to be a standalone with a brand new character, or is this a plot that might be good for one of my series to have, you know, with Will Robey or King and Maxwell or John Puller. And then I make the decision about, okay, well, I think I can make this to be a good fit, and then I move forward that way. You know, the book I just finished for the spring next year, a brand new book, brand new character, maybe the beginning of a series, different character than I've ever written before. That's because the story that I wanted to write was very particular to this new character that I had created. Therefore, you know, having it sign it in one of my other series just wouldn't work.
It's. Do you always start off with the idea, if you're going to introduce a new character, I guess this is more of a subjective question, but you say, okay, I'm just going to write this, and if it, with always the idea, the possibility that it could be a series, but I would assume you can't sort of go into it saying, okay, I want this character to be around for a long time, because that could influence the way you write it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I just like to write the story that I want to write, and then at the end, I feel like the character has more room for development, more of a story arc and evolution, then yeah, I will consider bringing them back. I don't really want to build a story so that I'm actually making that a foregone conclusion that it will be a series. I just want to really remain true to the story I want to write and let the chips fall how they may.
What is next?
I have, you know, a book coming out in the spring of next year of the new character.
Yeah.
I also finished a sequel to a young adult book I wrote earlier this year called The Finisher, and that'll be out in the fall of next year as well. And I wrote this in parallel, which is kind of interesting. I would write on the thriller half the day and on the young adult fantasy the other half of the day, and it worked well for me. It was kind of like, you know, a cathartic experience breaking from one and moving on to the other.
Do you go to different rooms, or can you... Or can you do it in one spot?
I got different rooms in my head.
Yeah, okay, that's good. But it is compartmentalized in some way, shape,
totally
or form.
Totally compartmentalized. My wife will tell you I do that terrifically well. One of the few things.
When you when you look at these characters and what you have created, where would you like to see this go for you as a writer of the David Baldacci brand, for want of a better term?
Yeah, I want to just keep being fresh and challenged. I want to keep taking myself out of my comfort zone. And I think once, you know, I have so many series in place, and I never want to start saying, let me read a couple of the past books and see how I did it, and I'll just change a few things and I'll have a new book. I never want to do that. I want to keep pushing forward. And even if I write about series characters, I want to push them forward out of their comfort zones and take them into areas and plots they never would have imagined they would be involved in, just to see what they can do. I feel that you stay on edge, you stay scared as a writer. Those are all good things.
Would we ever see a novel written by David Baldacci and somebody else?
I don't play well with others. No, I would say no.
Okay, you want the good, because that this is with very popular authors, and I know Jodi Picoult has mentioned. I know you do a lot of events with her. Has mentioned interest in doing that. Janet Ivanovich has done it. Of course, James Patterson is the king of it. But for you, that wouldn't work.
No, it's free. It sort of takes all the fun out of it. If I don't know what the other person would be doing, and whatever they would be doing would be taking some of the stuff away that I wanted to do.
Yeah, well, you come up with the idea, they write the book, and then your name's larger than theirs. That's how that works.
I'm not telling other people what to do. They can do whatever they want to do. I'm just saying that I'm not going to be doing it.
David Baldacci's new novel is The Escape. It is published by Grand Central. David, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Continued good luck, and have a wonderful holiday season.
Same to you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the novel is The Escape. It is published by Grand Central. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.